All right. Thursday morning in New York City. Liz Malone and Mark Farrow coming to you live from the Upper West Side in the lavish studios at PRN, the progressive radio network, where you are along for the ride for the next hour. This Thursday and every Thursday from 11 to noon, it's Insight, where we talk about a lot of compelling things. Right, Liz?
We certainly try.
An endless array. So if you think you're having a bad day, well, you could be starting your day, but it depends on where you are in the world. Think about the guy who woke up from yesterday after getting busted, after riding naked on a tricycle, coked out of his mind.
Is this the guy that was doing it through his building in Jersey?
It's New Jersey. I don't know about if he's doing it through his building. I heard he was on a street, but the kicker is they found him, and it must have been really good coke because he was chewing glass. Now, I've done some wild stuff when I was coked up out of my mind, riding on top of an elevator, car surfing, and a few other things. But I never have been so daring as to rip off my clothes. Oh, I've done that. But get on a tricycle, because that would just, manly-wise, that's just like unheard of. And then chew glass.
I thought this used to be like a regular like Thursday, Friday afternoon for you.
That's a typical happy hour around here at the PRN studios. That's Matt, our producer. How you feeling, Matt?
I'm alive. I'm on the right side of the earth, put it that way. I've been a little sick. Sorry, I haven't been here the last couple of weeks. They still don't know exactly what's wrong with me, but I'm feeling better.
Listen, I diagnosed you years ago. Don't worry, my friend.
There's many diagnoses.
So in the room here, I'm a married man. Liz is in a very serious relationship, and Matt, you are as well.
Yes.
Matt, it's fair to say you played the field pretty well?
I did, yes.
Okay, well.
Absolutely.
As you well know, this is a topic about dating today. Dating is a very, very difficult act for anyone. Human beings in general can be very difficult people. I mean, people have shells up, they have walls up. And today we're going to talk about disabilities in dating and relationships, because sometimes it can be that much more difficult, because if it's a confidence issue, it's a perception issue society-wise about, wow, this person has a disability. I'm intimidated by that. I don't know what to say. But we know what to say, because we have three people here today, some compelling guests, some great people, accomplished people. You're going to meet Helman Roman. He's a veteran who served in Afghanistan and Iraq. He is a disability, and he's dating. Chris Holcomb. Wow, Chris. Chris lives in Florida, has accomplished over 26 marathons. And it's ironic, because marathons are 26.2 miles. He's actually done 26. And the kicker is, Chris is a quadriplegic. And Chris is an amazing person. And Chris is looking for love. So we're not only going to try to hook him up with love today, but we're going to try to open the eyes to everyone out there, PRN listeners, about what we can do to change the stigma of people with disabilities. They're just like everyone else. People need to be loved. People need to be hugged, man. 888-874-4888. If you have something to contribute, we always love your feedback, questions for our guests, etc. That's 888-874-4888. My first guest today is calling from Denver, Colorado. She used to be in New York City. And when I say she used to be in New York City, she could have been on Sex in the City, because she's got it going on. She's got a great personality. We met when we worked at a great organization. The organization was the first internet website to serve people with disabilities. She's worked in philanthropy, business development, community relations. And I have to add one more thing to her bio, because she was a model. Yes, the company we worked for also had this glossy, slick magazine. They had a fashion section every month. And Lori Fisher modeled in, I think more than one, months. And she looked amazing, because she's absolutely gorgeous. She's now an account executive for Integra. And Lori Fisher, welcome to Insight.
Thank you, Mark, and I appreciate you having me this morning.
Oh, Lori, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. You're a great person with a great heart. And we should tell our listeners you're hearing impaired. Fortunately, very proud to boast that you're the first candidate in the world to be implanted with an invisible hearing device called Esteem. And you are esteemed with a cochlear implant.
That is correct.
And when did that take place, Lori? About a year and a half ago?
Actually, I had the implant back in late 2010 and have been wearing it for almost going on 4 years. So it's been great, you know, just being part of the technology wave in this community of people with hearing impairments.
Absolutely. Now, we should, full disclosure here, you are in a relationship now, very happy and healthy relationship. But before, you know, living in New York City, obviously you're on a prowl a lot. Rightfully so. That's part of the reasons why you should live in New York City. And then when you moved out to Denver, you're on a dating scene again. And the fact that you have long hair and you don't have an overt disability, did you find it easier or a little bit harder to date having a disability that wasn't overt?
It was definitely always a challenge for me. And yes, growing up and having long hair and always putting, you know, my hair over my ears was something that was very common. Didn't want people to even see that I was wearing hearing aids. That was just one of many things of just keeping it to myself. It was something common that I would always pull away from someone who came close to me, afraid that my hearing aids would whistle. And then I would have to explain myself. While being intimate with a partner, I would usually hesitate to take, you know, my hearing aids out at night because I was uncomfortable that during the course of the night, you know, something would be said and I couldn't hear. I would usually take out maybe one hearing aid because I could listen out of the other ear and be able to put my head on the pillow and, you know, wouldn't whistle, you know, while I was engaging with that person. But it was definitely a challenge in being intimate, you know, at that level. And then, you know, going out to a club and, you know, being on the scene in New York. And yes, I was a great dancer. I still think I am.
You got it going on. Oh, you do, Lori.
I definitely love to dance. And, you know, thanks to the vibration, I could, you know, just dance well. But I would really hate when, you know, I was in a dating situation and my date would sing to me as if, you know, I would know the words, and certainly had to concentrate extra hard to lip read and lip sync. And that was deep down very uncomfortable.
What about conversing in a loud restaurant or a club? I mean, you did hang out in the city a lot, so that must have been a challenge.
Well, I have always been a very social person, Mark, and you know that despite mm-hmm. my hearing loss. And I've always loved to meet people, but in a noisy environment, I would always just try to make the best of the situation and have a smile on my face, but would always, you know, think, oh my God, is the restaurant going to be dark? Is it going to be loud? And sometimes I would, you know, call before I would go just to see what the lighting was like, just to make sure that I wouldn't be in such an uncomfortable position sometimes, and I would let that person know I'd rather go someplace else and make that suggestion. But I always had a pit in my stomach, you know, just keeping it to myself, and
so,
it was hard.
So it's unfortunate. I mean, it's nervous enough to go out and try to meet someone because the unknown is always very scary, and then top it with the fact that, you know, you're worried about conversing and understanding the communication that's either happening or not happening.
Yeah, I mean, I would just people watch a lot, and just, you know, if you would ask me what someone was wearing or what someone was doing, and I would lip read a lot across the room and be surprised what I would lip read and understand from afar. But, you know, being out in those noisy settings was hard because I would sometimes, you know, come off as being rude if someone would, you know, whisper in my ear and try to say something to me or compliment me. And I would just say yes, 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 which was very common, and was not answering a question. So many times people would walk away from me and I wouldn't know why, but yet I would know why. And I probably could have had more pleasant times out had I had the ability to hear.
You know, Lori, I'm not sure if you're aware, if Mark told you, but I suffer from legal blindness, And I am very, very familiar with the New York City nightlife scene. And when I just heard you telling that story, it is so similar to what I've experienced in my case, because when I'm in a dark restaurant, I can't see a thing, and I rely on my hearing to you know, get my orientation, know where people are standing around me. And when I have that music thumping, 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 and I can't hear anything, I'm in a complete daze. But I've been accused of being rude to people too, because people will stick their hand out to shake my hand to meet me, and I don't see their hand, so I come across as this, you know, bitch that
won't
shake
someone's hand. That's just because you're short, Liz. But you know what? We have to rely on our strengths. Same thing as Liz. You know, I'm visually impaired, as you know, Lori, and you're hearing impaired, Lori, so you have to rely on your strengths. Lori, I'm sure there's many times where you almost had to address the elephant in the room if you met a guy and you went out a few times and the hearing didn't come up, but you realize that he picked up on it and it was there and it was evident. Would you wait for the appropriate moment to broach the topic like, well, you probably picked up that I blah, blah, blah?
It was definitely a subject I avoided. And unless that person would ask, I mean, I would, you know, meet so many people out, and some could be extremely rude and just say, are you deaf? And honestly, it would just turn off the whole entire date or moment, hearing remarks like that. But, you know, depending on the personality of the individual, I would certainly open up where appropriate, when appropriate. If I was in a situation where I was working in a setting with people with disabilities and I came across someone who I shared common interest with, then I knew they would understand.
At what point were you in a relationship, maybe second, third, fourth date, or maybe even deeper in a relationship, and that person to you said something very insensitive that kind of blew you out of the water?
You know, I think what the frustration is in the person I am with or was with, them not being aware of, you know, my not hearing them say something and them feeling that I am being rude because they thought I heard them. And I'm struggling truly that I can't hear them, and just having to explain that to that individual can be difficult at times, because I have the frustration, but so do they, and rightfully so.
Hey, Lori, our producer Matt just looked you up online, saw how beautiful you are, and now he wants to talk to you.
Hey, Lori, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Coming from the other side, I dated a girl who was hearing impaired. We actually met out in a crowded bar. She had hearing aids, but you really had to look at her to speak to her, because she read lips.
You should always look at the person you're speaking to, Matt, by the way.
Yeah, but, you know, in a crowded bar, you talk to people on the side, you know, the dynamics change a bit, and then when you start drinking, you know, like, you had to look directly at her. I had to look directly at her. And I found, like, a lot of, like, especially when we first started dating, I would screw that up a lot. She'd be like, she'd have to pull me back and be like, remember, you got to look at me. You got to look at me. And I'm sure it was really frustrating for her. It was a little frustrating for me. But really, I felt more like a jerk in some ways, because I felt like I was being insensitive to her. And I didn't mean it that way. You're just so used to interacting with people where you don't have to always just look directly at them so they could read their lips. And do you ever find, like, people like constantly apologetic or kind of feeling, you know, awkward around you?
I think that people do feel awkward once they hear from you, if you're true to yourself. And I didn't really come into my own until later in my life, where I felt more comfortable with my hearing impairment, and I was able to, you know, say, look, can you face me, or can we move into the light so I can, you know, read your lips, and, you know, be understanding to the fact that, as Mark, you know, said earlier, that it's an invisible disability, and some people may not, you know, see it, but they can hear it. And when I will reference to the fact that, no, I don't have a lisp. No, I don't have an accent. Well, maybe a little bit of an accent.
A little bit of a Long Island girl coming out there.
But, you know, the comment of, oh, you sound like you have a retainer. Yes, it was hurtful at that time. But, you know, with maturity and accepting myself and just learning that it is okay to, you know, justify what is really happening and going on. And more people will be open to sharing more of their stories of some of the challenges they face once you open yourself up.
Absolutely. We're talking about disabilities and dating. This is Insight. Mark Farrell, Liz Malone, and producer Matt with us. 888-874-4888. Love to hear your feedback or if you have a question for Lori. Lori, as you know, I'm an eternal optimist, so I'm sure you have many great dating experiences, whether they went full blown into, you know, a 6 month, 2, 3, 4, or 5 year relationship, is a different matter. But tell us about the people who you dated, or one person in particular, or a story, an event that really warmed your heart because they were so welcoming and accepting of Lori Fisher. This is who she is and as she is.
Well, I am really, truly blessed to be in a great, loving relationship right now in my life, and to have a partner that allows me really to shoot from my heart with my feelings, share my challenges, and being open with the fact that, you know, yes, I have to go to the audiologist, and yet, you know, my hearing aid and my devices may not be functioning the way I had hoped, or just, you know, frustrated that I'm missing out on certain things. Yes, over time it's gotten better through the amazing technology I've been given. And, you know, just to be in a relationship with somebody that can, you know, sleep at night with me and, you know, sign I love you in sign language and, you know, smile and, you know, just be there for me and know that when lights are out, my devices are out, we could still be loving and warm and, you know, just be honest with who we are as people, and has my back with all of what I believe in, how I want to make changes in this world, and just being comfortable with myself. But that comes from having a partner that allows you to open your heart. And if we can all find people like this that just allow you to be you, that to me is, it just, it's so hard to find, but yet it's out there. And I've been really, truly grateful that I have found that in my life.
So great to hear, Lori.
The wait has been worth it. The wait has been really worth it.
Fantastic. That's great. And, you know, if dating wasn't hard enough to find someone that you like and are compatible and accepts you as you, being Lori, being Mark Farrell, being Liz Malone, being Matt Iani, and whoever you are listening, you know, you can pick your lover, you can pick the person you're dating in life, but you cannot pick their family. So I imagine this was another variable for you and for me and probably others in this room right now. Did you ever have any discourse or any unpleasant situations when the person you were dating, you know, was accepting, but then you went and met their family or parents and they didn't really accept you in a way you would certainly expect to be welcomed?
I have been really fortunate not to have that issue. I have been truly loved and welcomed into families just because of my being, who I am. And I've been very honest with who I'm with, and I am a very loving and warm, giving person in all aspects of my life. And anyone who I'm with, I would hope that, you know, their family is the same way, and
mm-hmm.
and they are.
Great. great. Now, do you think, Lori, you've been, you're so great, and this is almost an aberration on some of the parts that we're addressing for you today, which I'm happy to report and hear. Do you think society has a double standard, though, for people with disabilities? They perceive them one way, but it's almost like, and I hate to use this analogy, oh, I have a friend who's Chinese, or I have a friend who's black. Yeah, I dated someone who's disabled.
You know, there are stigmas, unfortunately, everywhere. And I think that people are amazed at the accomplishments that people with disabilities take in their life if they surround themselves with individuals like yourself, like myself. They will have a different take on it. I think people are so used to the stigma of seeing somebody in a wheelchair with a cup in their hand on the streets begging for something. We are not begging for something. We're people who are trying to have opportunity, whether it's work, whether it's our career, whether it's our, you know, personal life. We've witnessed people, you know, in the sports world of disability doing amazing things that able-bodied individuals couldn't do. So I think, if anything, the unique character that all of us have with a disability is the new stigma that we should bring out and put out. And people like yourself who are talking today about what is possible versus the impossible is really important.
And how technology, Lori, is playing such an imperative role on allowing people to be social, go out there and be in the mix of society, whether it's a work environment, athletic endeavor. There's so many different levels that, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, this was a dream.
Absolutely. And I can tell you with my devices that I wear, it has opened a lot of doors for me in my hearing and in my world of opportunities personally and in my career. You know, just even the dating sector, you know, when I first had this device turned on, the Esteem device, I remember someone whispered in my ear and I heard them and I heard every single word that they said.
That's so
and
great.
That was a very big turning point for me, and they turned to me and they were like, "Boy, you heard everything." And it was, you know, a miraculous moment, and that's just the beginning of what technology does. But technology does give the confidence and get people out there where, you know, for a long time you do feel isolated and you feel like no one understands. And like I said, that pit in the stomach was there for a very, very long time.
Lori Fisher, your work and your voice, more importantly, has been heard by tens and tens of thousands of people throughout the last decade and a half, from all the incredible work you're doing, working with people with disabilities or friends and families, and incredible work you're doing right now with Integra as an account executive. We miss you. You shouldn't have moved out west, but I'm glad you did because you met your soulmate. And thank you very much for sharing your experience today, because it means a lot to us. I know Liz certainly could communicate and or understand certainly where you're coming from, and Matt as well. Matt didn't explain this to me before, and I'm so glad he articulated this story. And lastly, Lori, I don't know who's going to get more embarrassed about this, me or you, and I'm sure you have no idea what I'm about to bring up, but we never, ever, ever discussed this, and maybe you did with your female colleagues at the time, but there was one time when Lori and I were away with a bunch of colleagues. I'm not sure where we were, because I was drinking heavily back then. I'm going to take a stab. It was either Connecticut or Florida. We were on maybe it was the Paralympic trials covering that. And everyone was pretty, you know, three sheets to the wind. And I was the only one who was bold enough to go into the pool. And I think I took off most of my clothes. And you had your pretty toes that I think had just been freshly painted. And I progressed and coddled your toes. And I think I actually sucked on a few of your toes.
Oh, God, no, I don't remember that. That I don't remember. And I remember a lot of things, but wow, no, I don't recall that.
It's probably good for everyone. That
That's
you don't
very see. Safe, very safe. Lori Frischer, thank you so much. You rock on so many levels.
Okay, well, it was a pleasure, and I truly hope that a lot of people listening today can be inspired and know that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and there are people out there just like them going through challenging things, and the more we share and educate each other, we can live more fulfilling lives, and it could be a better place.
Hear, hear. Well said, Lori. Have a great day.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
When Insight continues on PRN.FM, we're going to continue the conversation about disabilities and dating with Helman Roman. My name is Mark Farrow, Liz Malone, and Matt will be right back. All right, hope you're having a great Thursday. It's PRN.FM. The show is Insight. That's Liz Malone. Say hello, Liz.
Hello, Liz.
Say hello, Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Matt's feeling better. My name is Mark Farrell. Love to hear always what you have to say at 888-874-4888. Save that number. And whatever device you have, smartphone, dumb phone, rotary phone, whatever you have, will do the trick. We're talking about disabilities and dating. Thanks, Lori, for sharing really, really compelling information and very personal information as well. Quick story. I was dating my first love in high school. The last time I saw her, she traipsed out of a bar because she was so pissed off at me because, when we met, during our break from college back in our hometown and we're talking about, you know, how life is, et cetera, we met a couple next to us and we're talking. She's like, you know, don't worry about looking at him. He can't see you anyway. So this is a couple we had just met and I had known this woman for a good 5 years at this point. You know, I was in love. She was my first real love. So I loved a woman. And that was my breaking point because she had made so many insensitive remarks. And it was odd. I guess I went away for, I don't know, a year or so when we came back together. And that was it. I couldn't take it anymore. So we're talking about disabilities in relationships and dating. And that's one point where I just said, you know what? You have no reason or right to say something like that, especially for what we've been through. My next guest is Helman Roman. Helman is an incredible guy. He actually enlisted into the service at age 33. A lot of people are retiring from the service, possibly around age 33. Helman is disabled, and he is fortunate enough to have met someone recently, and we're going to talk to Helman right now. Helman, welcome to PRN and Insight.
Hi, how are you? How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. Say hello to Liz and Matt.
Liz, how are you? And Matt, how are you doing?
So you used to be a tri-state guy, but then you took the plunge and moved down to Florida where it's a little bit warmer. And I guess that's a little bit more comforting for you because after being in the service, you broke both your legs after you were hit with an IED.
Yes. Here down south, the weather is a little bit better, which is good. But I, when I was in up north in Connecticut, I really didn't mind the cold.
Our last guest, as you may have heard, Helman is hearing impaired. She has a cochlear implant. Not really that overt, obvious of a disability. Now, just so we can give listeners paint a picture, you walk with a cane. You can actually walk without a cane for a couple blocks, if I remember correctly. You have a little bit of a pronounced limp, but you count yourself quite fortunate.
Absolutely, absolutely, Mark. What happens for us, and when I was in the service, I suffered an attack in Afghanistan, and as a result of that, I end up breaking both of my legs from my knee down. There were bilateral fractures in my tibias, fibulas, calcaneus, and ankles, but it was actually no fractures in the calcaneus and ankles. It was more like crushed bones. So, yes, I call myself fortunate because the doctors in Walter Reed, they were good enough to save both of my feet. And as a result, I mean, I'm able to walk a little bit, but I'm able to walk and with the assistance of a cane.
Fantastic. And you're doing much more than that since you were discharged in 2012.
And Mark, if you don't mind me saying, I just want to say to Staff Sergeant Roman, thank you so much for your service.
Absolutely.
No problem.
He's on his 40. You're on your 45th or 44th marathon?
I'm in my 44th marathon right now, in a marathon, but I have a little bit more races under my belt because I'm part of the USAA Cycling Federation, which they have their own hand cycling category. So on those, I've been doing, I think I'm in my 20th or 30th race as well. So total, we're talking about 70 to 75 events.
That's got to be one fast and efficient hand crank cycle with that Achilles club that you're working with. But so now we kind of painted a picture for our listeners of who you are. You walk with a cane, and it's not very pronounced, but you have also an invisible scar because you have PTSD like many returning veterans.
Yes, I've been, they find out that I have PTSD, especially after my first deployment in 2007. And then, you know, it got a little bit worse after my last, you know, deployment in 2009, and especially after I was wounded. That's the invisible scar, so the invisible disability that we, you know, all service guys, we have.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, you were divorced, or fortunately, because it's opened up a whole new world for you. You have a daughter. Well, we can say that safely now, right?
I think absolutely we can say all around I was fortunate. I mean, for both parties now we can say that we were both fortunate because we were able to move on with our lives and still have a good relationship right now.
So now, Hellman, tell me what was going through your mind when when you split from your wife and you're basically out there a free man. You're back from serving your country. You're out probably looking for gainful employment and probably looking for love. Were you nervous?
Well, I was nervous in a big way. I was nervous in the fact that I didn't know what was going to come next. Looking for love, to be honest with you, I was kind of just wanted to be alone, really. But I would never close the door. I was not looking, but I was not really, you know, not saying no to anybody. And the part is that, yes, you don't know how, because, you know, I'm a 45-year-old man with PTSD and all that stuff, so you really don't know how to approach anybody anymore or how to start, you know, trying to talk to a woman, really.
Was the notion of actually dating, I know you weren't really considering it that much or weren't really pursuing it, or maybe someone didn't pursue you, but if you did think about it, I mean, you're human, you're a man in his early 40s. Did it excite you, or were you nervous and trepidation about, you know, having to open yourself up personally and expose who you are?
I didn't want to really open myself personally who I was because I didn't want to get involved, you know, because when you out there dating, you open yourself for scrutiny, and you open yourself, you know, people want it. It's a judgment thing, you know, for both parties. So I didn't want to be judged or judge somebody, really. So, but like I said, I was not close. I never say, you know, I don't want to date. I don't want to, you know, do anything, you know. But that was the main thing.
And you have your daughter to thank who basically, in a short story that kind of puts you in a situation where you met somebody very, very special, Maria.
Yeah, our universe works in a mysterious way. My state of mind was just to be alone in my house because we're talking about 2011. At the time, my wife was already, you know, we were already separated and she was out of the house, so my mindset was just to be alone in my house with my two dogs. My daughter was going to school, but she was coming only over the weekend or every 2 weeks because she was going to college in New Hampshire. But one break that she had, she wanted to go down to Florida. So what I did, I sent it to my, spent time with my cousin here at the time. And my cousin told me that she was between apartments, so she was staying in one of her friends for 15 years, but I never knew about this wonderful person. Her name is Maria. So she was staying in her apartment, so when I find out she was, you know, old, what happened, she didn't have a place, then my daughter was staying in somebody else's house, so I asked who he was, Conchita Lewis, that is a friend of my aunt, and she's very nice. I said, well, can you give me her name? And so I look her up on Facebook, and I befriend her.
Uh-huh.
And yes.
Like I just met a girl named Maria.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, Hellman, I'm sorry. I hate to cut you off, but we're short on time, and we have another interview guest coming up, and I certainly don't want to shortchange him. But tell us about, you met Maria after you invited her to one of your marathons that you've done, and yes. She was really just overwhelmed with what she saw with your athleticism and courage.
Exactly. The most thing that she got impressed was that I was not the victim type, that I was not in a shell or anything like that. I was just a guy that had a purpose. And what struck me about her was her openness to find out more about PTSD, to see how we can cope with each other, you know.
Now, did she come outwardly, Hellman, and ask you if you had PTSD, or is it something you volunteered, and were you comfortable talking about it?
Before we move any further, you know, I told her who I was. I was a veteran, and yes, I was diagnosed with PTSD. So it's something that, I mean, I felt the obligation to do it, because if I don't, you know, PTSD is something that is, you know, it's like a passive-aggressive kind of thing, you know. It comes out and stays hidden, and comes out and stays hidden. I didn't want to really scare her, because I really had interest on this fantastic person.
And what was it? Was it one conversation, or was it maybe the way she looked at you that you realized, wow, you know what, this person is really accepting me for who I am, Hellman Roman?
Yes, the great thing about it, I think, is we start, before we met, before I came down to Florida and she met me personally, we had a month or a month and a half of conversations on the phone. So I get to know her on her spiritual level, and, you know, so it was not really a chemistry kind of thing that you said, oh, I saw her and I mm-hmm. fell in love with her. She had beautiful green eyes. It was her personality really what really attracted me more, but vice versa, you know. It was something on a more like a spiritual level that we clicked before we met personally.
Hellman, hypothetical question here. If you hadn't met Maria or weren't possibly hooked up via family, compare yourself now, a soldier returning home after serving your country for over 10 years in two different wars with a disability, not a major disability, thankfully, to prior to meeting your wife, in terms of your confidence and how well you were able to meet women.
Well, compare myself back then to now. I mean, if I would have met Maria, I would be a really reserved and quiet person, because before I was a very outgoing. I was never afraid to talk to a person, or especially a lady. But if I would have met Maria, I'd probably be on and off with relationships. It takes a special person to deal with my type of disability, you can say. It takes a lot of patience, it takes a lot of openness, and at the same time, the other person, if he's not willing to help you grow or help you cope with your disability, it's not going to work. I mean, you need a person that is going to help you grow, not stay in the same place, not enable you to just keep where you are and not
well
be
said.
Satisfied.
Yeah. Well said, Hellman. And I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Lastly, Hellman, do you have a friend or a former soldier buddy that's returned who possibly is in not as good a situation as you are in terms of trying to catapult himself back into the dating scene as quite scared?
Not just one. It's a couple of people. Unfortunately, our percentage of soldiers, they come back, if they were in a relationship, 80% of those relationships end up in divorce or separation. The single guys, they come home, they have a lot of difficulty, because there's a lot of anger inside that the guy had to take care, has to take care of himself before trying to open themselves to attract other people.
It's not easy. It's not easy. That's for sure.
It's really not.
Hellman, I can't thank you enough for your time and sharing a part of certainly who you are with the PRN listeners internationally. I take my hat off to you for many things, for serving our country, for after 9/11, saying, you know what, I'm 33, and that's actually a problem I think they had with your age back then, but you said, you know, I'm not giving up. This is something I'm really passionate and dedicated in doing and accomplishing, and you did, and you came back, and you made your life work for the better.
Absolutely, and Mark, and I mean, it was not just me. It was a whole group of people that helped me be the state of mind in my life, physically and spiritually. It's just as a whole. I mean, if we stay on the radio, thinking all the individuals, the people, the organizations that helped me be where I am. I mean, we'll never finish. But mainly is a lot of non-profit organizations like Achilles International, you mentioned.
Which you are intimately a part of.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Hellman, thank you so much for your time. No. We're short on time. Thank you so much for your time and all the best to you and continued marathon success.
Hey, thank you. No, thank you, Martin, for trying to make a difference out there. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Enjoy. Our conversation on disabilities and dating continues. 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. Before we meet our next guest, Chris Holcomb, Liz, you have a story you wanted to share with us.
Well, I didn't have a specific story, but I just wanted to raise a couple points, if that's okay. And one of the things that Hellman actually touched upon was that he said that, I think it was Maria, what she really appreciated about him was that he did not present himself as a victim. And I think that's such a big misconception that people think that if you have a relationship with somebody with a disability, that you automatically just become a caretaker and not a partner. So I think that was such an important part, or I should say point, which he touched upon, that I really can't stress that enough, that people with disabilities bring just as much to a relationship as any able-bodied person.
And I think that's a great segue into meeting our next guest, Chris Holcomb, because Chris was in an automobile accident back in 2004 that left him as a quadriplegic. And Chris, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. How's the weather down in Florida today? Nice and balmy?
It is. It's nice, sunny. Gotta love South Florida.
Well, you know what? You enjoy that weather, Chris, because what do we got? Maybe a mid-20-degree day here in New York City, but that's okay. So, Chris, now, you were married and divorced prior to your accident, correct?
Yes, I was.
And then post-accident, you tried to resuscitate this relationship.
Well, no, actually, we had reconciled. We were in the process of reconciling, and we had been back together 2 years prior to my accident.
And how healthy was it when you were back together prior to your accident?
It was pretty healthy. You know, we have a daughter, and you know, we've always been friends after divorce, and so you know, after hanging out and spending a lot of quality time together as a family, we decided to get back together, and we were planning on getting remarried when my accident happened.
And what ensued then? Was it too much for your wife to handle mentally and physically, possibly?
Absolutely. It just after 6 months returning home from inpatient rehab, within 6 months, it just fell apart. It was just too much for her to bear.
Was it something she articulated, or you could tell just even on her face when things almost returned to...
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable from the get-go after I had gotten home. It all just kind of came to a head one evening. We were watching a show on Discovery Health called Paralyzed and Pregnant, and it followed this story of this couple and this female C6 quad that wanted to have a child. So her and her able-bodied husband went through the process of getting pregnant and having this child, and you know, the trials and tribulations that went with that relationship, and while watching the show, she just broke down crying and said she couldn't do it anymore. So, and it hurt really bad, but we talked it out for a couple of hours. I was very angry, and but the conclusion was that it wasn't going to work, and we made a plan. I had 6 months to get my act together and get out.
Had you had a sneaking suspicion at that point, Chris, that she wasn't happy and you didn't think that possibly she would hang in there?
Kind of almost knew that from the get-go, from the accident. It was just very tough. She just couldn't look at me the same way as she did prior to my injury.
How did that make you feel, Chris? I mean, that just kind of blew me away.
It's tough, very tough. But there's a silver lining there. You know, it ended up being the best thing that happened. I would rather have it end abruptly without having been drawn out much longer than to live with resentment, somebody that's resentful and unhappy. So, you know, in hindsight, I'm pretty happy with the end result.
Do you have a functioning relationship now with her?
She remarried. We do have a 19-year-old daughter. We occasionally talk, but it's mostly in, you know, maybe a graduation or a birthday or, you know, some type of family occurrence where we might cross paths. But no, there's not a lot of communication between us, but it is amicable.
Well, in addition to doing 26 marathons, congratulations, Chris. Between that and having a daughter, you must really be fueled by those two accomplishments.
My child is my single most important asset and the best thing I've ever done. So I'm a very proud father. She's a great kid. She's in college doing what she needs to do. And she's very supportive of my dreams. So we're a good partnership.
Did the conversation ever come to surface between you and your daughter about the breakup of you and your wife, how your wife wasn't able to continue?
Sure. We actually had, we had 6 months. So we had made a 6-month plan when it was decided it wasn't going to work together. So we continued to live together, sleep in the same room, and, you know, just worked through it and had to, you know, I had to prepare a plan. So my daughter was included in that. We had a very open relationship, and we approached it from the sense of, you know, unfortunately it's just, you know, it's best for dad to be able to move on and focus on his independence, and, you know, mom has other goals. And it was tough, having to explain that to a 10-year-old, but she's a pretty resilient young lady, and we just tried to, you know, maintain a friendly atmosphere and, you know, be honest and forthright as we could without damaging her.
And she's going to learn a hell of a lot from her father, Chris, that's for sure. Chris, you're 43 years of age. You're a vital part of the Achilles International Regional Director back down in Florida there. You're doing the Boston Marathon. I'm sure you're very stoked about that on April 21st. Good for you, my friend, on multiple levels. I'm sure you're excited, obviously, to be there on this pivotal year. But now, how do you foresee your future in terms of meeting a companion?
Well, you know, that is the one missing component in my life. I've had great success in overcoming tremendous odds, celebrating victories of independence through my connection with adaptive sports and the disabled community. The missing component is companionship. I don't have a good game plan. You know, maybe I've lost my mojo.
Doesn't sound like it, Chris.
You know, I just have not found that person. And, the dating scene scares me. It's not something I go after and look for.
Well, you know what, Chris? The fact that you're involved with such a pivotal organization that helps persons with disabilities accomplish their athletic goals, it's possible, quite possible, and very likely that you'll meet somebody who also has a disability. And that's great because obviously you share a very level platform.
Absolutely. And I'm very open to all opportunities.
Well, we're going to send out my email. So if anybody wants to meet Chris and hang out with Chris in Florida, we'll do that. Chris Holcomb, thank you so much for your time and all the best to you this April 21st in Boston. I know you're going to just really just fly down that course in your hand cycle and just be an outstanding individual as a father and a human being to the Achilles Regional athletes that you direct. And just thank you for just sharing your personal experience with us and the PRN listeners.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
All right.
Bye-bye. Wow. Chris is an incredible, brave man.
Mm-hmm.
Special thanks to Chris Holcomb, Hellman Roman, and to Lori Frischer. If you do like to, if you have any questions or would like to get in touch with them, please feel free to email me at mark@markfarrellmotivation.com. Mark@markfarrellmotivation.com. Hope you enjoyed our episode today of Disabilities and Dating. Liz Malone, I enjoyed your input certainly about that pivotal point about being accepted and or the idea of being a caretaker. Mm-hmm. So many people, I'm sure, share that image. Special thanks to Mary Bryant today for arranging some pivotal interviews. Mary, you're the best, and you've impacted so many people's lives in this world. Jason Toppenfeld, Casey, Giselle, couldn't do it without you. Matt Iani, glad you're feeling better. Liz, thank you for being here and looking so gorgeous and sharing some great information as well. My name is Mark Farrell. Next Thursday, 11 a.m., we'll see. It's Insight on PRN.FM.